Morning, everybody, and welcome to the Meta Cafe. Grab your cup of coffee or your tea. Mine's sitting way over here on the other side of my desk. Sit back and let's chat about what's happening up in the sky today. I'm sorry, I'm on just a titch late here this morning. I got caught up in, I don't know what I got caught up in. Well, I'll tell you, I got caught up in a study of Venus. And I'm not quite ready to bring it to you yet, except to say why it is that that's suddenly of importance to me. Oh, there's my pen I lost earlier today in the book, in the spot that I was talking about Venus, or in the book that was talking about Venus. And anyway, we'll get to that here in just a few minutes. But for in the short term, I hope everybody's having a great day so far. Let's see who's with us this morning. Colleen, good morning. And Allison, good morning. Christine Erickson, good morning. Monique, good morning. Mimi, hello. And everybody's just wishing everybody a good morning. And Rebecca, good morning to you as well. Today is moon in Scorpio. We have the moon sitting in Scorpio all day today. It doesn't even go into the void until tomorrow. Let's see, tomorrow the 2nd at 2:47 a.m. And it's a very short one. It's only 2 hours. So literally a blip on the screen. When you go to bed tonight, there will be a void from 2 a.m. until 4:45 a.m. West Coast time. Yes, West Coast time. So by the time you all arrive on the East Coast tomorrow at your jobs, we will be in out of the void and we will be into the sign of Sagittarius with the moon. So today is the day, the last day then that the moon will be sitting in Scorpio all day. And it's actually flowing quite nicely today with planets Saturn, Neptune, and Pluto. Interesting, right? Typically when we meet up with those planets lately, it's been a square and it's been a challenge. And we are kind of being challenged right now, but in a way that takes us to through a vision to see the soul, seeing through something to the soul of something. And that may mean that we are seeing through to our own souls, seeing through to our own wants and desires, seeing through to our own psychoses, even though psychosis isn't necessarily the energy that's triggered, at least not technically speaking. However, if you take a look in the outer world, it's all very psychotic out there at the moment and crazy. So it urges each of us to come inward, to take a look at what it is that any of the triggers that you're experiencing are meaning for you. What does that mean for you to be experiencing something? Today, with the moon in Scorpio, it is a day to totally forget pretenses because we're going into the deep, right? Depth and intensity are favored. Living from your passion is favored. And living from your passion and building from what you're passionate about is exactly where it is that we are meant to be. Superficial in Scorpio does not work well, right? It does not. It wants to go to the depth of things. And if there's an interesting harmony today too, interesting because today's Pleiadian Earth energy is harmonizing the number 9, but there's an interesting harmony between where the moon is transiting today in Scorpio and what the Pleiadian Earth energy is of the day, as it is in 9 seeing. Seeing energy in the Pleiadian Earth is equatable to men in the Mayan calendar, which was eagle. And eagle is the elevated scorpion, right? So when we're talking about Scorpio energy, it is one of the few signs that actually has levels that it moves through. One is the scorpion, obviously, where there's passive aggression, the tendency for the stinger to come and get you from behind. You don't see it coming. And it's not overt. It's not like someone's coming right out in your face and telling you something. It's more covert than that. And in the energy of the next level, sort of the gift level, if you will, in Scorpio, it is the eagle, right? Rising up a level or two to in height in order to be able to see more clearly what is around you. And think about this as an eagle. I don't know. I live in a part of the country where there are a lot of eagles, and literally they'll be gathering here in the next couple of months for the salmon. And we'll start to see 30 to 50 of them a day easily right around here where I live. which pisses off the farmers sometimes and the fishermen, but they're part of the natural system here. And when an eagle sits, like some of these trees that I have right outside my door here are 200 feet tall, 150 to 200 feet tall. These eagles sit at the top of the tree, and from their position, flying high above or sitting at the top of the tree, they can see the most minute little animal, fish, rabbit, moving around down at the grass, and they can come swooping out of those trees and grab that animal. So what we get is this idea that there's so much more to seeing than what we see, right? That we're the ability of the eagle to elevate from its elevated perspective to see further and farther and wider, but also to hone in and see the details at will. So that's what the motif is here between the moon and Scorpio and the Pleiadian Earth energy, as we're harmonizing our ability to see wide, but also to see the details and to act from the balance of those two visions, right? To be able to see the width, to be able to see the depth. And here we have that, right? The nine energy, by the way, is the universal energy of the day. The nine is the energy of harmonizing. It takes diverse things and brings them together. And it's like, it reminds me of a symphony, where the conductor may have, the stringed instruments over there, the percussion instruments, the woodwinds, and then, maybe, I don't know, what other, the horns. And they all separately have a part to play, but when you bring them together and harmonize the music, it makes the symphony, right? So instead of just that part, you're bringing all the parts together in a harmony. So that's our energy of the day. Now, the moon is actually in a sextile to Saturn, a trine to Neptune, and a sextile to Pluto. And I do them in that order specifically. You may be going, well, Janet, why don't you say sextile Saturn and sextile Pluto? Well, I could. I could, and that would be correct as, could be, except that the moon will first sextile Saturn. There's an order here, and then it will trine Neptune, and then it will sextile Pluto. So we have an order in which the energy is unfolding for us throughout the day. So right now, the moon in Scorpio sextiling Saturn gives us maybe a moment or two or three of being able to see the emotion with emotional clarity, where it is that we are meant to be, or who where it is we're meant to go. Or with a keen eye to what is out of place, what isn't working correctly. So, using this energy of the day early here to be able to see, like, using that eagle eye, what isn't quite right, right? What isn't quite working? What's out of sync? What isn't smoothly flowing, right? Because here we have the sextile, and a sextile is a 60-degree angle between the planet, the moon, and Saturn. And a sextile means that there's an equal sharing of the gifts and the talents of each one of them. So the gifts of the talents, the gift and the talent of the moon in Scorpio, being intense, being passionate, seeing with intuitive eyes, and then Saturn's gifts of structure and form, and being able to see the weaknesses and to be able to take steps to fix the weaknesses. Right. So there we have emotions and the physical world sort of working in a flow this morning. Then with the moon in Scorpio trine Neptune, there are likely some powerful intuitive forces moving through you as an individual, but also through the collective on the planet, and some things like cobwebs being pulled away from your eyes, pulled away from your vision. It's almost like the curtain being drawn back on some of the shenanigans that have been going on around us, either in your personal relationships. We're seeing it certainly out there in the collective through the politics or the government issues going on, at least in our country. I bet there's more, right? There's more depth to be seen, and there's more to come up and more to be sort of revealed to us over time. Now, last in the day, the moon in sextile to Pluto. This one's pretty important. This is important because tomorrow and into early Wednesday, for those of you on the East Coast, it'll actually happen like after you go to bed Wednesday, or it'll happen very early Wednesday morning, where Pluto changes directions from retrograde, which he has been in retrograde since April 24th, and then his forward motion. So that moon sextile Pluto is our opportunity to see with clearer eyes right now where it is we may be out of sync with our own power, where we're not applying our power dynamics appropriately. Where, when I think of Pluto and the moon together, there's actually a really well-written book called The Hades Moon. And the Hades Moon is Pluto. Pluto is Hades and the moon together in a chart. And what does that mean, right? Because there's so many different themes of power and mothering and nurturing and feeding and smothering or struggling that goes on when the moon and Pluto come together. You know, as you can imagine, the moon is depth of the emotional body, but Pluto is dragging that emotional and likely the most ill of those emotions up to the surface and exposing it to the light, and then dragging you back down into that psychology or that psyche or that subconscious mind and grabbing up more stuff and bringing it to the surface. So when the Hades moon is triggered, you have a lot of processing potential that has to be done. So later in the day today, there may be an opportunity to process some of the inner things that have been going on because Pluto's been retrograde. A retrograde planet takes us inward and exposing us to the places within us where we've not been powerful or where we've had a lot of fear or where we are refusing to see the light, where the shadow is holding sway. Now, with Pluto getting ready to change direction, some of that stuff is coming out, coming up, and then out, and affording us an opportunity, if we take it, to really get some clarity about what is going on deep within us and what must we let go of, what are we still holding on to that isn't true for us, where are the fields not plowed properly, right? Where are we still leaking energy? Where are our emotional reactions, or let's say our reactionary selves, creating havoc or sabotage for you? Whenever I see Pluto, I often think too about Pluto is the co-ruler of Scorpio. And Scorpio and Mars, or Mars and Pluto, co-rule the sign of Scorpio. So the moon in Scorpio is already sort of aligning itself with Pluto in energy. So there could be some powerful stuff coming up. Be ready, be willing, and be able to move through it. Just by asking simple questions, why is this showing up in my life? What does this mean to me? What does this remind me of? Right? Those kind of questions that open up a probe into the depth of your psychology, the depth of your fear field, right? Because not only is Scorpio ruled by Mars and Pluto, but Mars and Pluto are both kind of triggering fear responses in us. Just by the very transits that are happening with them. And then the sun and the inner planets, Mercury and Venus, sitting at fear gates in your human design. So fear is in the field and fear is coming up, not to punish you, but for you to look at more clearly and to figure out what is this doing to me and what can I do to stop that, right? What can I do to stop it? Or how can I embrace that fear and still proceed forward with whatever it is that I wanted to do in my life? So let's take a look here and see who else is with us. Good morning, Londa. Good morning, Asa. Good morning, Brenda, Christina. Nice to see you, Lisa and Trisha Gelder. Rebecca says the moon in Scorpio is my favorite placement. That's too funny because it is my least favorite subject, least favorite placement, I should say. Latricia, good morning. Suzanne, good morning. Kathy Miller, good morning. Linda, good morning. Great to see everybody. Amy Moore, good morning. Angela, good morning. Linda says, sale of office complete. It is done deal. No funds being released at this time. It is being held up due to dispute of who gets what. Hopefully attorneys don't end up getting it all. Oh, goodness. And you know what, Linda? I was thinking about you yesterday after our conversation on air. And I had this thought, and it's not that it's a weird thought, but it's kind of a scary thought. And to me and to you, I'm guessing, and to any of you who are faced with anything of this kind of nature in your life, what if you were just able to say, I'm done, right? I'm just done. I release this and my attachment to it. I release the expectation of money coming in or of any struggle around this. What if I just said, I release it, I surrender it. I have faith that the universe is putting me in the right place at the right time with the right people and the right opportunities. I'm not going to struggle with this one anymore. What would happen? I mean, initially for you, Linda, that made me go, ah, right? I'm like, oh God, you know, easy to say, right? Easy for me to sit here hundreds of miles away from you and just say, Linda, let it go. Just let it go. And then I tried it on for size in my own self. And would I be able to let it go? Well, I would hope I would, but unfortunately, I don't know because I'm not facing that situation. But sometimes in the release of it comes a total satisfaction that God's will be done or source will be done. The goddess will have her way, right? Whatever words work for you. There's just sometimes we have a stranglehold on what we believe should be the outcome of something. The desire for how we want it to come out is so strong and so powerful that we get sort of this tunneled vision. And in that tunneled vision, we can't see that there's a whole world of possibilities that the universe sees that we don't, right? That the eagle sees that we don't. So maybe just releasing your all attachment to this, surrendering it, letting it go, and coming back to a harmony, coming back to peace in the ability that you have to just say, it's out of my hands. It's out of my hands. There's nothing else I can do. It's in the attorneys, the judges, God's sources, hands now, not mine. And then allowing that piece of it not being your problem or your worry to come over you, because you will be taken care of, right? You will be taken care of. Rebecca says, do you know how long Pluto stays in the shadow phase after going direct? The shadow phase after going direct. Once he turns direct, direct is sort of like retrograde. There's a moment where he hangs, right? It's just hanging at that same degree, which happens to be 20 degrees of the sign of Capricorn. And it will probably be a week or so of that hanging there, Rebecca. It might start to move ahead in increments of minutes of the sign of Capricorn, but it will hang here. So it is in a stasis sort of a moment. And once it turns back to forward motion, though, it will slowly regain that motion forward. And of course, it's moving more and more toward its divine appointment at 22 degrees with the planet Saturn in January. So you can see that those 2 degrees that Pluto moves will take all the way until January 12th. So it doesn't move far and it doesn't move very fast. So it will hang here for a while. And yet it is so energized from its stay here and the various connections it's made with an almost conjunction to Saturn earlier in the year, an almost conjunction with the South Node earlier in the year, that it's energized. It's already, you know, magnifying all of the energy that it's coming into contact with. So you are probably about to see, all of us are about to see, major transformational energy at play in the outer world. And in your own life, as well as in whatever life, whatever dramas, let's say, are going on in the outer world, right? It's like there's the snowball. Right now, it's the behind the scenes gathering of information, seeing what we know, bringing more and more to light. And then the snowballs picking up all that dirt, right, and all those rocks. And it is going to be a watershed moment as that energy begins to reveal the secrets that have been hidden and what then happens with all of that. And I think it's interesting to note, this is what got me this morning, is that I was, what was I doing? Oh, I was looking at my my Pleiadian Earth calendar, right? I have this right here with me every morning. And I've gotten so into the flow of the calendar that I've not really looked at the calendar because I know, oh, yesterday was an 8-day, today's going to be a 9-day. And yesterday was healing, that means today is seeing. So, you know, I could easily just go through the whole of the month and tell you what comes next. But I thought, you know what, I'm going to look at the calendar. And I did. Because today, happy October, by the way, happy October. And it's October is just beginning. So I thought, well, I'm going to look and see what the, look at this, look at the picture. If you guys don't have this calendar, I would get it. This is October 29, enlightening energy for the month. Look at the beautiful, gosh, they just found the best pictures. But if you look at the calendar, right, this has a lot of information on it besides what we think of as, you know, the, you know, just the regular, you know, what day is it? It's Tuesday and it's October 1st. Ah, I did turn my calendar. So October 1st. So if you look at October 1st, and I did, you see there's this yellow star here, this yellow star. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I completely and totally and utterly, totally forgot that there are times in the month where the planet Venus becomes prominent in the grand scheme of the play of Earth. And I was looking at that going, oh, wow, there's two of them, right? One week after the other. Today we have the energy of rebirth with Venus. And next Monday, Tuesday, we have the energy of remember and embody with Venus. And I went, what does that mean? I mean, I know what those words mean in terms of the calendar, right? Rebirthing energy makes perfect sense. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, rebirth is, wow, is it even on here? No. Oh, maybe it's in a number? No, it's 13, so it is in the number. Interesting, it's not. Well, anyway, this is why I didn't want to bring this up completely because I was sort of looking at that going, what does that mean? So why I was sort of late this morning is I was reading in the Pleiadian Earth Energy Astrology book about that energy, and it wasn't telling me much. So I ended up ordering the book that she based it on, and I'll receive that book tomorrow. Once I read through that book, then I'm going to bring that to you because I want to understand Venus's cycle here. Because if you tell me that today is rebirth with Venus, I'm thinking there's a new birth going on in our values, in our relationships, and in our money, right? Rebirthing energy. And rebirthing isn't always very pleasant either. Often it comes with a destruction of sorts or something that you have to let go of in order to move forward into rebirthing energy. And then next week, finding it being remembering and embodying energy, I went, I've got to find this out. So I will be bringing more of that information to you. But I found it interesting that Venus was in rebirth while the moon and Pluto are both in a sextile with one another, sharing their gifts for regeneration, which is really what Scorpio energy is about. So in a way, regeneration and rebirth are sort of synonymous with one another. I'm thinking rebirth has a little bit more depth to it, but I wanted to see what that's all about. So I will be bringing that to you. So Venus and rebirthing. And, you know, Venus is literally the only planet other than the sun and the earth that is used in Pleiadian earth energy, astrology, and also in the Mayan calendar and its astrology. So interesting, right? And it, when you go back through myths, Earth and Venus were twins, right? They're twin, they're sister planets. And Venus, they end up separating through the birthing process of the planetary system. Venus ends up hotter and has a different atmosphere, a non-life supporting atmosphere. And it also has a different orbit. It orbits backwards. It orbits retrograde. compared to the Earth, right? So we would say the Earth orbits forward, has an atmosphere that does support life, even though it's gone through its Venus stage of having a non-breathable atmosphere. But something changed on Earth that did not change on Venus. But yet they're still sisters and or twins in the way that we look at them mythologically. And what does that mean for us? Like, one is of the light and one is dark. And what does that mean, right? One is very feminine. Venus, we think of as the feminine energy. So I'm really looking forward to delving into the book that I just ordered, which, by the way, you see if I can tell you what the name of it was without going too far here. It was by Adam Gainsburg, and it was The Light of Venus. Oh, there's another one too, Venus Star Rising. Huh. Well, anyway, so once I get that book read, maybe I will understand this more and I can bring it to you guys in a way that you will understand it. In the meantime, if you want to, you can certainly get the book, Pleiadian Earth Energy Astrology, Charting the Spirals of Consciousness by Pia Orlean and Colin Baird Smith, with Larkma, the entity or group of entities, the association of entities that they channel from the Pleiadian system. And it would be chapter 6, I think it was, that I was reading about Venus and duality. So interesting stuff, and I will bring you more of that. Okay, let's see. Any questions going on out there besides Pluto? I hope I answered your question, Rebecca. That was sort of a long way around. I could certainly look at an ephemeris and give you the exact time, but I would imagine it'll be a little while here. Good morning, Lisa Kenny. Great to see you. My son said that last night, no more football due to coaches. What? I couldn't be more prouder. Oh, I see. He's quitting because of the coaches. Allison, I did that with buying my mother's house. I said, universe, no more. You, universe, no more than I do. Do your thing. It worked. I love it. Amy Moore said, ooh, my phone just pinged me. My order from Big Sky Publishing is out for delivery. Looking forward to that. Awesome, Amy. Big Sky Publishing means she has ordered the Energy Almanac, and that is on its way to people. And the energy, this is the one that I wrote the astrology for. This is 2019's version. 2020's version is out for the early birds who want to catch the worm now. great. I'm so happy for you. Okay, now I get it. So few degrees. Yes, indeed, Rebecca. And you're welcome. Allison says, further to my mother's house, I ended up getting a better mortgage rate. You go, universe, I trust. I love it. I have come to the same conclusion about letting go as it is no longer in my hands. Very good, Linda. Detachment to outcome is not easy, but I am working on it. Also applying Course of Miracles principles. Absolutely. Absolutely. Perfect. Allison said, Linda, she'll put in a good word to you for the universe. I love it. Fraternal twins, I assume. You know what, Allison? That is a really good question. I've always thought of the Earth as feminine, and Venus is also feminine. Now, I know you can have fraternal twins that are the same sex fraternal twins, because it's not the sex that makes them identical or not. It's whether they were both in the same amniotic sac. So I don't know. I'll find out, though, as I read. I'll let you guys know for sure. Irina, good morning. I haven't seen you out there in a long time. And Rebecca said, he's amazing. Listen to one of his lectures about exploring cycles. Very good. She says, hello. Irina says, hello. Haven't been able to catch you live for a while. Well, I'm really glad you were able to catch us today. Good morning to you, Debbie and Kristen Page. Great to see everybody lining up out here today. And it's not a particularly, you know, bad or busy day, but I think there's some profound things happening under the surface, as it always is with Scorpio energy or Pluto energy. There's so much depth, right? It's like an iceberg. You know, you see this berg on the top and you think that's all there is to it. But if you get a camera and you go underneath the surface, you see that there's so much more in the depths or in the darkness that you didn't see. And that's the danger, right, of an iceberg is that you can see, you think you're going around it, but before you know it, the hull is ripped by the part that you didn't see under the surface. Same thing for us. We see this pleasant life, or we see this event or this thing that we're struggling with, and we see all the superficial parts of it, right? We see the visible spectrum of what it means to us, or what might happen if that doesn't go the way we think it should go. But underneath is this deeper place. And in that deeper place lies the more profound truth. And the more profound truth is literally about letting go, right? Letting go, having faith, surrendering, allowing the fear or whatever's in the depth to come up and to be exposed to the light so that you can see yourself more clearly and you can move forward with whatever it is in your life that you want to move forward with, rather than being stuck in an old pattern. Okay, so Venus is in rebirth mode. I will find out more about that and bring that to you. Today, let's now talk about where the inner planets, Mercury, Venus, and Mars, are playing in your human design. And dang it, I didn't print up a human design chart for the day, and I meant to do that. Let me see if I can do that while you guys wait here for just one moment. You'll still see me. Okay. You'll probably hear my printer here in just a moment. And I don't want to get my chart. I want to just now chart. Ah, yes, I do want to print this one. Awesome. Okay, so you're going to hear my printer. I can't avoid that, but I want to be able to show this to you because we have more centers defined finally. And did I not do that? No, it's printing. Awesome. Okay. So when that chart comes up, I will definitely show it to you. In the meantime, let's talk a little bit about where the inner planets are, because all three of them today move into a new gate in your human design. And that's why I want to show you the chart. So, because I knew that would have some kind of an effect on what it is we see in the chart. Mercury and Venus are now sitting on the gates of the spleen, that meaning more fear, right? So if you're struggling with fear or feeling like you are stuck or in a paralysis spot, it isn't your imagination. It's literally happening as different gates of the spleen are being affected by the inner planets, including the sun, as we were talking about yesterday. So here is what the human design chart looks like right now. Let me get it up here. So here's the spleen, right? And look how activated the spleen is, right? We have the gate 50 defined, we have the gate 32 defined, and we have the gate 18 defined. And the gate 32 is completing a channel, and so is the gate 50 completing a channel. So let's break this down a little bit. And you might notice too that we have a defined sacral because of gate 50 completing with gate 27 over here. So for those of you who are manifestors or are projectors or are reflectors, there's suddenly a bump up in your energy because now you're tapping into a defined sacral. So for you all, you'll have to be careful not to let yourself get burned out, not to be so feeling just so energetic that you take on mountains when you've only ever, you know, walked over an anthill. So make sure you stay proportional to what it is that your energy can support in a sustainable way, because right now you may feel like you have a lot more energy than what you technically have access to. So be careful with that. So let's take a look first at Venus. Or excuse me, nope, let's not do that yet. Let's do Mercury. Mercury is sitting at the gate 50. The gate 50 is at the point here of the spleen, right? Right here is gate 50. It is the gate of, in human design, called the gate of values. So here's the gate where we lay, this is, by the way, see this channel here? This is a very feminine channel. This is the feminine tribal energy of defense. And the other side over here would be the masculine energy of defense in the tribal circuitry, right? There's a defense circuit within the circuitry. And that circuit is about taking care of people, right? Caring for people, expressing love for the tribe or the community. So the gate 50, which is feminine energy of values, is where the feminine lays down the values. The feminine dictates what the values of the tribe are. Why? To support the progeny, to support children, to support the next generation, right? So the laws, the values are expressed by the feminine energy through gate 50. This is where it says, you know, the children will be educated, the children will be fed and clothed, our elderly will be cared for, all people have an equal opportunity to eat and to have a place to live, etc. It expresses the values of the tribe or the community. And you can see in literally every modern society on the planet here that there is a skewed vision going on in this gate, right? Where, and I can only speak to the USA because I live here, but if this isn't a part of what's going on in your own countries, I apologize, but I would bet it's endemic, particularly in the West, where greed is the model, has been the model, where it's not about how do we take care of everyone, including our weakest links. It's about if you have enough money to pay to play, then you survive and you eat and you have good housing, you have health benefits. And if you don't, too bad, so sad. You should have gone to school and become a doctor, except that you couldn't afford to go to school because schooling is so damn expensive, right? So in our society, in our tribe, in our communities, right now, it is not set up in a way for us to support our weakest links. We are not living in accordance with the values of the gate 50, or at least not everyone is. I think if you talk to each person as an individual, they would say, yeah, we adhere to those values. Those are our values, but it's not being represented in the outer world. And I think the only, you know, people that really speak to that, are people like Marianne Williamson, right? Our great, the metaphysical speak people out there are speaking to the need for balancing that outer world expression of the tribe or of the community with the more caring, nurturing feminine principles. So it's been, you know, overly masculine, let's say, out there. And now we have this opportunity to bring up the feminine. Now, Mercury is sitting at this gate. By the way, this is an interesting gate when you look at it in the gene keys. And its lowest expression is the word corruption. The shadow of the gate 50 is corruption. In its gift, it's equilibrium. And in its highest expression, it is harmony. And you might say, take a look around you and go, wow, the outer world is full of corruption, right? Corruption. But it wouldn't be the kind of corruption that you are thinking about, although it plays into that in a sort of deeper level way. Corruption in the gate 50 is really about the misreading of the DNA by the messenger RNA in each one of your cells. And much like when you have software on your computer, and you go through a freaking Windows 10 update, and next thing you know, your software's corrupted, right? Because something changed, and the message didn't make it all the way in through all the levels of the DNA, and so there's a corruption that's taken place. Now, in your body, this happens all the time. It either ends in cell death, or if something comes along and fixes that, your immune system fixes that and heals that cell. Or it, like I said, ends in cellular death, which is not a scary thing, right? Your cells are always dying and being sloughed off. And that's a natural part. That's part of the natural order of the DNA in your body, or of our ability to see where things are out of alignment, fix the code, and reorganize the way that it is that we bring things that we value things. So if you're following my line of thinking here, everything that we see that's breaking down in our society, in our societies, so it might be different in different countries around the world, but everything that's breaking down is doing so as a way to reestablish a new equilibrium. And that's where I'm thinking that Venus rebirth thing is so powerful, and I can't wait to read that book. But at any rate, that's another story. Corruption of the message, corruption in how it is we care for one another, how it is we build a community, how it is that we have the foundation set for a community is what we are having to grapple with here in this gate. The fear as an individual, if you're carrying this gate, is that you're going to fail in your responsibility to your family, to your community, tribe, organization, your workplace, and then you almost over mother or over caregive, and in doing so you end up debilitating your own energy, taking away from your own energy. You're corrupting your programming. Now, right now, Mercury sitting here then has a lot to do with what's going on in our heads, our minds, right? It's the mind energy that's corrupted. And what is it that we need to do to correct the mind and to bring it into the potential for an equilibrium? And then, of course, the gift is harmony, right? The highest expression of this gift is what we're seeking, harmony, right? Harmony. Now, the planet Mercury also represents what we speak to, right? So I come on here and I speak to this, but do you hear many politicians or people in power in your governments or in your communities speaking like this, right? It's the new speech, right? It's the new message. And it's not even that new. It's old. It's an old message. It's what allowed us to get this far in our evolution. Unfortunately, we've forgotten those common core values, right? Where we are expressing our values in the world. That, and of course, you know, you could say there's been a lot of pressure on a lot of different systems. Things have gotten out of harmony, have gotten out of balance, and all of the things that are happening in the world are in reaction to what has gotten out of balance. But I would say that what got out of balance started within us as individuals. And where we began to see the world through a fear field, and out of fear, we began to hoard resources, or we began to gobble up resources. And then we began to even look at people as resources that are expendable. And if you're crippled, or you have some kind of weakness, or you're homeless, or you're not the same skin color, you somehow became marginalized because my focus was on the most, right? The resources that are at hand. It clouded our thinking, right? So we have to reestablish an equilibrium in how it is that we think and what it is that we communicate about what's going on in our world. So that's what's happening at the gate 50, and Mercury will sit there just for a few days. But remember, this is a long train of planets coming through each one of these fear gates over the next several months. By the way, I think I told you it was going to end November 5th. Yes, I did. I know I did, because that's the last day that the sun is at a fear gate. Completely forgot about Mars. Mars is actually in the, you know, it's slower, it's further out there. So he moves through the fear gates all the way into December. His last day at a fear gate is December 8th. Hey, that's my cousin's birthday. I think it is. So on December 9th, Mars actually moves into gate 1. And out of gate 44, which is also on the spleen, that's when the true fear field ends this route, this time, this journey. So it may not be as intense as it is right now, but certainly Mars will be holding us to what actions we take based on fear, right? So that'll be interesting. Okay, so Mercury, gate 50, corruption, which means a misreading of the code. So we have to reestablish the code and reread it, right? Reread the code. Venus moves into the gate 32 today. Now the gate 32 sits on the spleen as well. It is right here, and it is connecting up to the root center. So it is, oh, by the way, let me back up to Mercury here for a minute. So Mercury is sitting right here. What's sitting over here is the planet Uranus. Uranus sits at the gate 27, which is the gate of nurturing, literally in terms of feeding, clothing, teaching, doing all the mothering things. Like if you think of mom, what do you think of? Chicken soup, right? Or feeding you, or you go home and you go home for a meal. What does mom do? She's hugging you. You go to home and it smells like home. It feels comforting. It feels warm and inviting. That's where Uranus is sitting, at the gate of nurturing. I find that funny almost. I find it amusing that it's the planet that awakens and surprises and shakes us up that is sitting at the gate of nurturing, completing that entire channel. And for the foreseeable future, then we may have to awaken to where it is we have lost our way, where that corruption has taken place within ourselves personally, but also within our society. Okay, now I can go to Venus. All right, Venus then sitting opposing Pluto, right? Pluto is sitting here at the gate 54. Let me make sure that's correct, because now that I've said that, I'm second guessing myself. It is Pluto sitting there. And then later in the month, Saturn will be back. He's now moving forward. He'll move forward into the gate 54 as well. So this channel, we talked a little bit about it already, because that channel can be the channel of the workaholic, right? Where we take that energy of the gate 54 ambition and drive and goals, and we get it, put it to work, and we keep going and going and going, because this channel wants to succeed. It wants success. And if it doesn't see success, it feels like a failure. Therein is the fear, right? The fear is that I will fail, or that whatever it is I've been working on will fail. Rather than the gift in this channel, or excuse me, the gift in this gate here, 32, which is the energy of preservation. So I was thinking about that word, preservation, because to me that when we're thinking about our planet, right, we are thinking about whether she succeeds or fails depends upon how we preserve her, right? How do we preserve our natural resources? How do we treat our environment? How do we treat ourselves in the environment, right? So thinking about all of those things, then this gate of endurance then can be both a blessing or a curse, right? The endurance would say we stick with what we know to be true, to preserve what we have, to take care of what we have, or we risk failure. Failure on a planetary level, failure on an individual level, etc. The fear is totally failure. But there's so much more in this energy, because for one thing, in the repressed expression of this gate of endurance is the energy of compromise. Compromise. I always struggle when we get to this gene key, because to me, compromise is a good thing, isn't it? We just talked about that with Libra and energy, right? One of the gifts of Libra is about compromise. Compromise, meaning co-promise, right? Co-promise. And where, you know, where we come together in a way that works for both sides. But there's a dark side of compromising too. It is when you, and it's in this repressed expression, when you give up, right? When you give up and you say, all right, decimate that forest. We need the oil, or we need the wood. That kind of compromise is not a good compromise. That's a giving up, right? That is a falling into a trap of an old expressive energy of just giving up. So apathy, right, is one of those things that can come through this channel. In the more rebellious form of this, and this one is going to twist your knickers, is the energy of fundamentalism. And I didn't have time to sit with this very long, but, and it's not necessarily fundamentalist thinking in terms of religion, but it could be. I mean, if you think about it, what is fundamentalism? As a rebellion, right? As a rebellious force. It is the, didn't God make us the top of the food chain, right? I'm trying to think of that first, the lines in Genesis that give man dominion over the earth and the creatures of the earth. And what did that mean? And did it even get freaking translated correctly? What if it was meant to be that we were here to be good stewards of the earth and the animals, not dominion? Dominion seems like we're the kings and the queens, and we can do with the resources whatever it is we want to do. But what if the word was really about taking care of, right? So a fundamentalist could read the words that they see and express them dogmatically. And there's problems there as well, right? Because what if, just what if one word changed? And instead of man being given dominion over the earth, what if we were meant to be, what if we were given stewardship over the earth? It would have a completely different meaning, right? Words, such a play on words. So failure, preservation, and veneration. The highest expression of the gene key 32 is veneration. When you think of veneration, it's just like bowing down to the highest expression of the energy. I'd have to look that word up too and see what that means. Veneration. I think it's interesting that veneration begins with the same three letters that Venus is starting with. Venus, veneration. And Venus is sitting here at this gate. So there's something here to look at. Maybe we'll look at that tomorrow. I'll get my dictionary out. We'll look at veneration and what the prefix of a word VEN means. Venus, veneration, your veins, right? Your the venous flow of blood in your body. Venus meaning veins, VENOUS, as opposed to the Venus planet, VENUS. So if we look at the words, we can get some more distinction there, perhaps, in what's happening. And finally, the planet Mars also changes gates today, but he does not move into a fear gate. He moves into the gate of love that the sun was in last week at the equinox, the gate 46, the love of being in the physical body. Mars loves this gate. I'm guaranteeing it. It's about shadow of seriousness. And remember, we were meant to be expressing delight and ecstasy in its highest expression. It is the love of the physical being, the love of the physical earth, the love of being in the physical, being a physical body on a physical planet, and being able to have all of the senses at your disposal to touch, taste, feel, smell, see, right? All of the beauty of the natural world. And instead of the seriousness of life, elevating up to the delight in life. And in its repressed form, this is frigid energy. In its rebellious form, it's frivolous. So we could make another study of that one. But the 46, I think, is sometimes the gate, in fact, I think it is this channel, this 4629 at the opposite end. So here, let me show you where the 46 is. I'll circle it here. So the 46 is here in the bigger circle. It is on the G center. So it is a magnetic force, right? Bringing you the physical experiences that you need, the physical expression of everything you need to be here. And it connects down here to the gate 29, which is the gate of commitment. So that whole channel is about committing to the right physical expressions so that you use your energy correctly. That is a tantric channel in your human design chart. Tantric meaning a use of energy. And the correct use of that energy is to be in the moment, to be physical, to be in the light. And what else? Oh, so in that particular channel, when we are inappropriately using, I've got cat hair in my mouth. There we go. When we are using the energy incorrectly of being in the physical, right? When we are in seriousness rather than delight, the physical body even begins to twist and turn and kind of misshape in itself in response to being too serious. It's an interesting dynamic. And you can read more about that in, I think it is in Karen Curry's book, Understanding Human Design. When you look up what goes on in that channel, the misuse. So when I think about people who have scoliosis or when you get an injury and it doesn't heal correctly and it's misshapen or misformed. What is that about? What can we trace it to a place in your chart where you're being too serious or something like that? That's a study that we would have to take up, but I just think it's an interesting byproduct of living life too seriously that your body can twist and contort into like different wrong ways of expressing, let's say, or I don't know how to say that exactly, but it just makes you wonder, right? Makes you wonder. It's the your body is the physical expression of what's been going on out here in the spiritual, physical, or spiritual, mental, and emotional fields, and the body's the last to express it. So maybe living a serious, too serious of a life. So we ought to take a look at least while Mars is sitting here, where we are being too serious, where we aren't being in delight, because the natural way for us to behave is in love, delight, expressions of ecstasy, pleasure, bliss, vitality, etc. So, okay. I haven't looked at comments in a while. Let's see what other people are saying here. Good morning, Dawn. Regarding rebirth energy, it also feels like a lot of things are dying. Habitats, wildlife, my old comfortable habits of staying quiet. It can feel very unsettling. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think sometimes even when we look at our outer world and we see what's going on with politicians and officials and things like that, that drive us crazy. It's really their reactions to what they also see as dying or rebirthing and being afraid of what that means, right? The old passing away. Brenda says, I have the Pluto transit in my first and 10th house. Okay, first and 10th. So you're saying the sextile, right, to the moon and Pluto, first and 10th house, maybe re-emerging as a strong being in your career, in how you are showing up in the outer world. Affecting anywhere between 19 and 21 degrees is, yeah, exactly. Okay, Linda says, just had a call from my attorney. I will not be able to file the divorce on my birthday. Darn. It's all right. There must be a better day astrologically, and inadvertently, your attorney has tuned into that. Allison, thank you for looking up the word veneration. Great respect and reverence. Interesting. Interesting. I love it. Thank you. Also inspired by the dignity, wisdom, dedication, or talent of a person. Interesting. Love it. And K. Don Goodwin says, stewardship and preservation are part of my local campaign platform. Are you running for office? Are you running, or someone in your district is running on that kind of platform? Because if so, how courageous and how aware and awake are you or that person? That is awesome. Because that is exactly what we need. And I think we'll begin to see more and more people in resonance with that. They can't help but do that. We are a collective. We are sort of a hive mentality. I know that's going to just make some people go crazy, but we are all connected by an energy field that we call the morphogenetic field, or we call it the energy grid of the planet. And each of you are an energy that is attached to that field. We are all creating the field. And so we're all in this together. And this is where things like those theories about the 100th monkey, where the 100th monkey picks up washing the sweet potatoes in the water before they eat it, and suddenly the entire population is doing that. It's really expressing the energy of how we are interconnected, how we are interdependent with one another on this planet. So what one does affects another, and so on and so on and so on. So when it's why we have mob mentality. It's why we can have that crowd that goes wild, because it only takes a few members to get out of control, and eventually everybody picks up. This is the unconscious expression, by the way. Everybody picks up that energy and begins to express it, and ends up people doing things they would never do before, right? It's what happened in Nazi Germany, right? People just picking up this energy and behaving in ways that, later, if they had a chance and they look back over their life, they would be like, oh, what have I done? Like, what happened? So we have to be awake and aware. We have to be very aware and conscious at all times about what we are feeding into, right? The news, I swear, it's designed to get us into a feeding frenzy around what's happening. And it's designed to pull us off our path and gain some form of group mentality that maybe isn't what we want, right? So we have to be conscious and aware. We have to choose. Your ability to choose, your free will, is really engaged with how it is that you show up, right? Rather than just reacting to the will of this group of people intent on creating mayhem, or are you involved with a group intent on creating and spreading love energy, right? They're equally as powerful. You all have the power, right? It's about, what are you connected into? What are you going to create, a tidal wave of love or a tidal wave of pain or anguish? It's all in your hands, right? It's all in each of our hands because we are all interconnected. So there you have that. Christine Erickson says that's spot on for me when it comes to work, with me too, being serious and go silent in groups. You know, we all have things that we do that are sometimes, some portion of it's unconscious, you know, where we just find ourselves doing the same things that we've done without really asking, why am I doing this? What is this really what I want? The more that we're able to ask that question and to dive or dig deeper, the more we become conscious, the more consciousness we express, the more we have to give, the more love that we can create. So it's important for us. It's important for us to ask in every moment, what is going on here with me? Is this where I want to put my energy? So there you have it. I cannot believe that an entire hour has gone by, because what I thought was going to be a day I had nothing to say, that changed in a heartbeat. So let's just end here on a good note, just thinking about, what is it that you're connected to and what energy do you want to be connected to, and expressing the highest and best in every moment that you can. And if you aren't able to, do not beat yourself up over it. Just recognize, well, I could have done that better, and next time you can do it better, right? That's all there is to it. All right, everybody, take care. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow morning, 8 a.m. Pacific time, 11 a.m. East Coast time, right here in the Meta Cafe. Bye for now.